Welcome to Psychopath in Your Life. I'm your host, Diane Emerson. Let me tell you a little bit about how we can get started here. This podcast will be dedicated exclusively to talking about psychopaths. We're not going to be talking about commingled things. We're not going to be talking about people who are mentally ill or crazy. We're talking about people that fall under the classification in the personality disorder that are actually psychopaths. There's a long, windy path that I took to get here, so I'd like to give you a little bit of background. Back in the early 80s, Ann Rule was one of the more famous true crime writers, and her first book came out about Ted Bundy. It was called The Stranger Beside Me. And I found it such a fascinating book because it went through that she had actually worked in a crisis hotline, and Ted Bundy actually sat next to her. So anyway, so I read this book about Bundy, and then shortly after that, Jack Olson came out with a book called Son, and I read the book about that, and this was completely diverse kind of a psychopath from Bundy, in that the character in the book Son came from a prominent wealthy family. He had all these upstanding things going on. His father was the local newspaper publisher. Kind of the kid had everything, but it had a lot of twists and turns to it. So From there, I started wondering about, okay, I read about Bundy, and now I've read about this other guy who was what I would describe as a socialized psychopath. And by that, I mean somebody who has been given more advantages in life. Typically, they can fly under the radar, and we'll get more into that later. But the podcast will be about how do we identify psychopaths? I mean, the best thing I can say about a checklist is that you're starting to look for information, okay? But a lot of the information you're going to find on a checklist doesn't necessarily translate into actual behaviors. So then around the early 90s, after reading true crime books for quite a while, the internet became available for home use. And I'm sure some of you think, wow, what do you mean? You grew up without the internet? Yeah, I did. And these were during the early dial-up days. And so information was then available at home. So finally, I had at my fingertips a way to look up information about these psychopaths. So store the information, I set up a little form, a little tiny free form that was available, just because finding information was so difficult, because this was pre-Google. And so along the way, I'm starting to sort out information and put it in this little forum. And much to my surprise, people started coming along and posting and telling their stories. So I thought, wow, this is kind of interesting. So maybe this should also be a discussion forum. My original vision was, well, maybe because information was so hard to find that it would be just a resource. In other words, kind of compile it into one spot. So along the way, this discussion forum developed, and more people started coming forward, people that were involved with day-to-day psychopaths. These weren't people involved in prisons or people involved with their children who were psychopaths. So it had a wide variety of people. And they all came from, you know, fairly affluent walks of life. I mean, these weren't people dating inmates or people who had been convicted of any kind of crimes. These were people in their everyday lives. So the story started coming in, and I became fascinated by how do these people who are just like you and me get involved with psychopaths? I mean, and we'll talk more about this later. I mean, do psychopaths seek out a type? I don't know. Yeah, I did find that answer. But I guess my question is are you that type? And if you're that type, how do you modify your own behavior so you don't become, these people don't find you attractive and become attracted to you? So there's really a difference. There's the people who are more likely to commit crimes, and they fall under the general prison population. Studies 20 years ago found that 25% of prison inmates were psychopaths, tested as being psychopaths. And then from there, they extrapolated this 1-3% in the general population. But here's the deal. No one has really ever studied that 1-3%. So either I see psychopaths everywhere, or the fact is that there needs to be more studies. I've also read reports that 23% of corporate America top leaders have psychopathic traits. So let's not muddy the water, but let's talk specifics. Okay. How do you tell if a person is a psychopath? Well, number one is they fall under the personality disorder cluster. And in order to be a psychopath, you're born that way. They know that it's in the genes. So what they do know is that here's the dividing line. You can look at checklists and look at checklists, and all these checklists vary. And a lot of these checklists were developed to identify psychopaths in the criminal world. But what we're really talking about are psychopaths in our everyday lives. People who you might work for, people who you might be involved in a relationship with, people who might be your family members. So what is a dividing line? Okay, so you're looking for these checklists and you go online, you start looking. Well, the best thing that I can say about a checklist is that you're searching for information. And in order to be open to information, we have to be seeking for answers. So these checklists can be a good source to get started with, but actually they could add a lot more confusion to the level because as a smart psychopath, okay, let's talk about smart ones versus ones who are going to get in prison. I saw this interesting guy being interviewed one time, and he was more of the type that, you know, lower socioeconomic, you know, kind of the type that ends up in and out of prison. And they asked him, they said, how do you identify victims? And he had just a startlingly clear thing that he said. He said, well, what I do is on the first date is I give him a good pop, meaning he smacked him. And so either they say, why'd you do that? And he said, well, because I either have a victim for life or they run. And I thought, well, that really boils it down. So clearly, those type of people with the criminality aspect are easier to see. But really, they all are hard to pick out because the more educated they are, the more they're able to cover a lot of their behaviors. Like, for example, the one thing that they don't have that we have is a conscience. Well, a conscience is that directing force in your life. It helps you to make clear decisions with kindness and compassion. So let's say that I'm running some big corporation and I am a psychopath and I have to lay off friends and neighbors and a great part of the staff and a lot of people are going to suffer. Well, a psychopath would be the perfect person for that job because that would be something that they would be able to do with great ease. For example, if I had to lay off people who are my friends and neighbors and people that I knew would be suffer greatly, that would be a real sleepless night kind of a thing for me. So without a conscience, they're able to make decisions that we wouldn't be able to make. But here's the trick. So that sounds pretty easy, okay? Take away all these things on the checklist and you narrow it down to the conscience thing. Well, a really good practice psychopath will trick you into thinking they have a conscience. So that's what we're going to be talking about, are all these twists and turns. Over the years, victims would say things that had left me with more questions. Now, clearly I could empathize with their position. I never thought that they did anything wrong, but there was a type of a person who seemed to be attracting these kinds of people, this evil into their lives. So along the way, I thought, well, you know, there's got to be a way to convey this to the general public. How do you find out if they're in your life? How do you spot them before they get into your life? And as some victims said along the way that actually it would be better to sometimes have been killed by this person than to have your heart ripped out and your pocketbook snatched out from underneath you. The pain is so extraordinary when you become a victim for a lot of reasons, because people think of Ted Bundy as a model for a psychopath. Well, actually, he's not. He used to be, but actually the model now is probably somebody who could be very successful, somebody who puts on a very well-imaged front to people. Somebody who studies and knows what they're talking about and can give a lot of appearances of being completely normal. How do they do these things? Well, because in order to be a successful psychopath, and I mean success in that able to fool people, not success in that I think it's a marker for good, they study and learn different behaviors. They do not know things when they're born because of this conscience. So they actually have to mimic behaviors along the way, which makes them, if you're paying attention, you can pick them out. But even if you're paying attention, you can miss a lot of subtle clues because you're relying on checklists and you're relying on what is normal. And normal people tend to overlook a lot of things that can happen. So along the way, I decided that over the years, I would get contacted by psychopaths. And none of these were in prison, okay? These were all people who had an interest in learning. And, you know, for many years, I was of the belief that a psychopath, if their lips were moving, they were more than likely lying. So I kind of have an evolution of thought along the way. So a few years ago, you know, I'd get contacted by these psychopaths over time, and the opportunity came up that I had three of them contact me at the same time, around the same time, but I was able to clearly know that they were unrelated. They're from different parts of the world, and they had a story they wanted to tell. So I thought, well, why don't I, you know, I have started a book about the plight of victims of psychopaths, and never could quite hit home with that in my mind from a creative standpoint, because there had to be some more information that I could offer the public about how psychopaths really operate. Now, clearly having, you know, close to, you know, 15 to 18 years of victim stories clearly helped me have a basis for what the victim's perception of what was happening. But I didn't really have a full understanding of, you know, were psychopaths aware that they're psychopaths? I mean, how much plotting goes into catching victims? How much plotting goes into keeping them, you know, in their realm? So I was really at a loss for the other side of the answer. So I decided that I would set up under a very controlled atmosphere that I would interview these psychopaths. And I knew enough that they mimic behavior and that if I gave them access to my emotions, then I would not have the ability to really get to the truth. So what I set up were some boundaries and some game rules. So I answered these three different psychopaths and I said, listen, you know, I'd be interested in interviewing you for a book that I'm writing. Would you be interested in participating? I said, sure. I said, okay, well, here's going to be the ground rules. I'm only going to ask you questions in writing. We will not have any personal interaction, and it will just be in writing, and we'll have to pretty much stick to the questions. And if at any time you find that, you know, you want to abandon and stop, that's great. But another question I had for them was, what is your motivation? Why do you want to talk to me? And they both, all three of them came back with the same thing, because I want to learn. Wow, that was kind of a big one. They want to learn. Well, what do they want to learn? Well, they want to learn how to hide their behavior better. So that gave me some real pause, because essentially going into it, I was making a deal with the devil. And I thought, well, if I could make the deal to find out information that would prove helpful to people in the future, then that was worth it for me. So I went along and conducted these interviews and published my book, Psychopaths in Our Lives, My Interviews. You can tell this is not a pre-recorded scripted show. And I was actually, you know, I thought, well, I'll go ahead and do these interviews. And if I find anything interesting, then I'll publish it as a book. And yeah, I found a lot of things interesting. I mean, so interesting that at times I was downright on overload, horrified level type of feeling. And I'm not the kind of person that reacts greatly. I mean, clearly I can keep a distance to things. I can read about things and then I don't translate it into, hey, somebody's lurking around outside of my house type of thinking. Because I've always believed that really stranger danger is overrated. You're more likely to be harmed by somebody who knows you and is in your life than you are from some guy in the alley. Now, clearly, I don't advocate cruising through dark alleys and bad neighborhoods at midnight, but you get what I mean. So anyway, so here we go. We're off. And I really would like to hear from you. And in the next episode, I'll be talking more about the types of personalities they are, clues that you can look for. How do you find out if you're one of the kind of people that they're attracted to victimize? So I will rely on your questions to continue our chat, and your questions or your comments. And I do respect your privacy. These days, it seems everywhere you go, somebody's looking to grab your email address. I mean, some sites these days, you can't even read the stuff before they want you to put in your email address. Well, having dealt with victims for all these years, one thing I know for sure is that you need your privacy, okay? I don't ever write to anybody unsolicited. So if you have a quick question for me, I do read all my emails. If you have a quick question for me and you want me to give you a quick answer, state so in your email, okay to answer me. But otherwise, I will assume that everything is private. I have no interest in developing any kind of mailing list. You'll never hear from me. I've set up my website, psychopathinyourlife.com, same name as this podcast. And you have two options there. You can either email me directly, or you can fill in the anonymous email message box, and I will do my best to answer as many of your questions or comments on the air. Anyway, well, we'll wrap this one up, and I really look forward to chatting with you. So be safe out there, and we will talk with you very soon.